and you try to approach your relationships differently, then at that point, you're going to be disoriented and confused. So if you're feeling that right now, then you need to feel good about yourself, because it means that you're really getting it.
Hey!
I'm gonna say that.
Thank you.
And I'm gonna say that. Let me. I don't like these bathrooms. It looks like a special relationship. The way we were taught to use a special relationship, which is to be a form of completion of ourselves. So when you finally want to feel complete within yourself, then it completely changes the ways that you relate to relationship. And it says, without this illusion, without this special relationship illusion in the old way, he said there wouldn't even be any meaning that we were still seeking the old way of doing things. So it says that don't be afraid that you're going to be abruptly lifted up and hurled into reality. Yeah. That don't be afraid that you're going to be hurled into happiness. Hurled. And it talks about that time will treat you in a really kind way. It talks about how time will treat you in a really kind way if you're using time on behalf of reality. That if time isn't treating you kindly, then you're not using reality on behalf truly of your own happiness. So if it looks like time isn't treating you kindly, it says it's not being used on behalf of reality. I'm not using it on behalf of reality. And so if you're using time to wake up to who you really are, if you're using time for love, if you're using time for love, then time keeps gentle pace with you in your transition. All this great distraction lets me know it's some deep stuff we're going to talk about. That's all it means to me. It just means that the ego is more threatened than usual. Okay. So the urgency is in getting yourself out of the situation that you're in right now. The urgency is getting yourself out of the situation that you're in right now that's not making you feel peace. The reason why you want to get yourself out of the situation right now, according to the Course, is because if you let yourself change the way you're looking at things now, he says that you will not be left without a frame of reference. Don't worry, you won't be homeless. You won't be left without a frame of reference. But this disorientation that we're going through that precedes the actual transition into where you want to go is a far shorter time than the time it took to get you messed up in the first place. And it won't take you as long to get out of it as it took you to get into it, okay? That's the other thing. I'm just cutting to the chase with this stuff. All right? It says that the reason why delay hurts you now more than before, the reason why it upsets you now more than before when you're not happy or when you're not satisfied or when you're not at peace, is because you realize that you are delaying yourself. So delay hurts more when you know that you're doing it than it does when you don't know that you're doing it. The once you realize you're delaying yourself, it hurts you more than it does when you don't know you're delaying yourself, because you don't even know you're doing it. But the once you know you're doing it, then you can't stand it even more. Okay, so if you're finding that you can't handle delay the way you used to, it just means you know you're delaying. And you know that you don't have to delay yourself. And so if you know you're delaying, then you also know that escape from pain is possible. Why am I mad at myself for delaying? Because I know I could be getting out of this and I'm not doing it. Why is the delay hurting me right now? Because I know I could be choosing for something else and I'm not doing it. Delay hurts me more than before because I recognize delay is delay and that escape from pain is possible. So if now you're beginning to believe that you could possibly be happy in your life, you would be less tolerant of delay and pain and hurt. So the more you love yourself, the less tolerant you are of pain. So it's not like as you become more conscious, you handle pain better. When you become more conscious, you handle pain worse. It's not something you deserve, something you want, something you feel like you should have. It's not your natural state as far as you're concerned. So it bugs you more than it used to. If you're a person who thinks you don't deserve to be happy, then why would it upset you if you were truly miserable? You just stay in that, wallow in it. That's where you belong. But a person who knows they don't doesn't have the same level of patience. So one of the sure signs of your spiritual awakening is your inability to be able to handle matter intrusions of discomfort. You're not so good at it anymore because you no longer think you deserve it anymore. Okay? Then I'm just reviewing here. I'm cutting to the chase. I've made this thing for 25 years. Let me cut to the chase.
Yeah.
All right. It says, now, find hope and comfort rather than despair in this. You couldn't long find even the illusion of love in any special relationship here. The reason why you can't find satisfaction in an illusion of love, which is a love in which you're not happy, is because you're no longer insane. Because it's insane mind to try to be happy in something that's not. You're not completely insane. That's a very high statement. I mean, it may not sound like it's the biggest flattery that the universe can put on you. Well, you're just not wholly insane. No, I'm not exactly saying you're the best out there, but at least you're not totally insane anymore. Like, no, can you give me a little bit more slack than that, universe, you know? Well, the court says, what does that mean? Well, if you're not totally insane, you can tell when you're betraying yourself. Because when you're betraying yourself, you feel guilty. So a person that's totally insane thinks guilt is normal. A person that's moving out of total insanity, they can tell when they're betraying themselves by being in something that brings them no peace because they feel guilty about what they're doing to themselves. And when you feel guilty about what you're doing to yourself, that means you're finally beginning to recognize when you're betraying yourself. And you know you're betraying yourself if you're in any kind of relationship that does not feel fulfilling to your soul. Now, nothing you seek to strengthen in a special relationship is really part of you. You can't keep part of the thought system that taught you the special relationship was real and understand the thought that knows what you are. The problem is you have allowed the thought of your reality to enter your mind. You've allowed the truth to enter your mind because you invited it. And so now the truth abides with you. Now, you're going to love the truth so much. You're going to love what you really are so much. You're going to love your freedom so much. You're going to love this new way of thinking so much, it will not even allow you to betray yourself. You're going to love what it's like to really be at peace and love so much that you wouldn't even enter into a situation that you would betray yourself. Because you let the truth enter your mind. You let the idea of your innocence enter your mind. You let the idea that you deserve to be happy enter your mind. You let the idea that you are lovable and loving enter your mind. You let the idea that you are free enter your mind. You let the idea that you are spirit enter your mind. And your love for these new thoughts will get to the point that it will not let you betray yourself.
Ooh, that is so good.
Isn't that good? Yeah. If you think it's good, say it's good, Bonnie.
It's good.
Okay. Everybody think it's good, say it's good. Good. Okay, you know, let me know it's good to you. So I keep on giving it to you. Hey, Father, would you mind giving me some water, please? I would really appreciate that. Okay. So the Course says your love for it will not allow you to betray yourself, and you could not enter into a relationship where your reality or your truth couldn't go with you because you wouldn't want to be apart from it. I'm not going to go into a relationship that my truth cannot go into the relationship with me. If I got to leave my truth out of my relationship, I'm not entering that relationship. If you want a relationship with me, but you don't want a relationship with my mind, I don't want a relationship with you.
Yeah.
That's the way I feel about that.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm not entering into a relationship that I have to be something I'm not. I will not go into a relationship that my truth cannot enter with me. Why? Because I don't want to be apart from it. That's why. Because I want it with me, not because of any other reason. Thank you, brother. So the Course says, be glad you have escaped the mockery of salvation the ego offered you. He says, be glad you have escaped the mockery of happiness that the old way of thinking offered you. That's what that means. Salvation is nothing but the escape from concepts. The Course in Miracles says, you know what your salvation is? Escaping the concepts you've learned that limit you. That's what salvation is. What is the ego, the thought system that you learned in the past that makes you think it's normal to be afraid and separate? That's the ego. So be glad you've escaped the mockery of salvation. The ego is all but you. And he said, don't look back with longing on the travesty that your old way of thinking made on your relationship. Don't, because you're not so happy right now, look back on that pitiful relationship in the past and go, you know, maybe it just wasn't so bad after all. I think I look back with longing on that travesty. All of a sudden, you know, one acknowledgement of my value here, that wasn't so bad. I think I might try that one more time. Don't look back with longing on the travesty that the old way of thinking made of your relationships. He says, now no one need suffer. He says, you don't need to suffer. Why? He says, because you've come too far to yield to the beauty, to the illusion of the beauty and the holiness of guilt. What does that mean? It means that I don't need to suffer. Why don't I need to suffer? Because I'm no longer going to yield to what I think of as the holiness or the goodness of guilt. I used to think that feeling guilty was good. Yeah, beating myself up all the time about what I thought I did in the past was good. So I'm not going to yield to the beauty and the holiness of guilt. Why? Because that's what causes my suffering. So I'm not going to suffer. What do you mean? If you don't feel guilty, you must be a psychopath. You just do anything to anybody. No, we're doing anything to each other because we're full of guilt. That's why we harm and attack and hurt each other. It's because of guilt. If there was less guilt, there'd be less attack. So the whole idea that feeling guilty is the way you correct something is the same as saying hitting myself 10 more times is the way to keep from hurting myself from hitting myself 10 more times. So the Court says, now, what guilt, I love this, he says, only the totally insane could look on death and suffering and sickness and despair and look at it and go, oh my goodness, this is beautiful. This is for my own good. Yeah. He says, don't see no illusion of truth and beauty. Don't see no truth and beauty in death, in suffering, in sickness, in fear. Don't say that that's beautiful. The only way you should look at that as being for your own best interest is after you've decided to experience it. But don't set it up as a necessary experience for your happiness. Don't go, you know, you got to have some challenges and some hard times in order to become strong and become a powerful person. You got to have a struggle. Don't you see you asking for it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We were taught that, though.
Sure. That's the whole point. Don't look back with longing on the travesty these old ways of thinking have made. That's why it says that. You don't need to suffer anymore because you're suffering, not because you're not a good person. You're suffering because of what you've learned.
Yeah.
All of us are suffering because of what we've learned. Mm-hmm. But we identify with our way of thinking, so we think getting rid of our way of thinking is the same as getting rid of us. And so we defend a way of thinking that's only brought us pain because we want to be right more than we want to be happy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You follow? Yeah, it's so deep. Mm-hmm. It's like what you learned as a child, you have to ask yourself, has it served you? And you can ask yourself, has it served you by the way you feel today? If you don't feel peace and love today, then what you've learned has no value.
Right.
So let it go. Why have to keep defending the thought system that hasn't worked? And what's the thought system that hasn't worked? The thought system that hasn't worked is the thought system that tells you it's beautiful to feel guilty. It's the thought system that tells you you have to die. It's the thought system that tells you suffering is how you become stronger. It's the thought system that tells you sickness is natural and despair is natural. No, those feelings are not natural, but those feelings are not to be judged or condemned when they come up. They're just feelings.
Yeah.
But they're not natural. They're just feelings. It's not natural to feel miserable. It's not natural. It's not natural to walk around afraid of each other. I'm sorry. That's not natural. It's not natural for us not to trust each other just because we look at each other and don't know each other. That's not natural. It's not natural for you to distrust me just because I have a male body. That's not natural. The court says we've done what's unnatural so long that the natural seems unnatural to us.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree 100%.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You want to scare somebody to death? Look them in the eye and say, I love you. Tell him I hate you. I knew it.
Yeah.
I knew it. I knew you. Well, guess what? I hate you too. You know, oh, what do you want? You love me. What do you want? What do you want to get? What do you want to get from me? And if you're a man, you only want to get one thing.
Ain't that the truth?
Now, if it's a man, you just want to get one thing.
And that's all you want.
That's all you want.
That's all you want.
That's right. You want to get in my sacred space.
They're mine.
That's right. You're my mind. Baby, I want you for your man. Something wrong with my body? I want you to ask me even if I'm going to turn you down. I just want to know you want it anyway. We're no longer totally insane. Okay, now the court says, now, if you're following along with me in the book, you see the only thing I'm doing is doing this like we're having a conversation with love instead of acting like we're here to analyze it.
Yeah.
Okay, it's like, okay, he says, let me show you, let me tell you something. He says, what guilt has wrought is ugly, fearful, and dangerous. Okay, he says, don't see any illusion of truth and beauty in something that's ugly, frightening, and dangerous. Don't stop trying to love what's ugly, fearful, and dangerous. The Course says, just be thankful that there's a place where truth and beauty wait for you. Instead of spending all my time trying to love the ugly, I should be just focusing on being thankful that there is a place that I can experience the truth and the beauty. So I'm focusing all my attention on plugging into the place where I can experience truth and beauty. I don't spend all my time trying to make myself like people I don't. Because it's not their problem. It's my perception that's the problem. It's my perception that's making me upset. It is not any of you. Now, my projection on you may be so strong that I have to choose to not be around you until I can change my mind. Because I just can't change my perception of you right now. It's just too locked in. I just might have to give myself a little space. But I guarantee you, I will change my mind. And in the meantime, what I want you to do, while I'm working on changing my mind about you, I would love you to go forth and prosper.
Yes.
I'd like for you to have a beautiful life. I'd like for you to express yourself in all kinds of wonderful ways. I would like you to have the most beautiful existence you can have while I'm busy working on forgiving you. Okay?
Wow.
Because that's my issue. It has nothing to do with you. Because you know what? You're not doing nothing to me right now. So I really don't have nothing to be mad at you about. Right now, you're not doing nothing to me. So if I'm mad at you about something, it's about something that don't exist. Because right now, me and you're not fighting. So it's my issue, not yours.
But he did do such a thing to me.
And the court says, that's right. Don't see no truth and beauty in that. Just be glad there's a place where truth and beauty wait for you that you can go to. Aren't you sick of trying to forgive people? And like the people you don't like, and love the job you don't love, and love the house you don't love, or love the car. Aren't you tired of trying to make yourself tolerate your experience in some way to be spiritual? Wouldn't it be a lot easier just to appreciate what you loved? If your life was full of something that you had love for, wouldn't that be the easiest way to have a situation that's easy for you to like? Would y'all like to go that route?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
The route of having in your life what you naturally love?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Yes, please.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
I'm confused.
That means that you're in a period of transition. It means you've let go of your old way of looking at things and you've opened yourself up to a new way of looking at things. That's why you're confused. You're not as addicted to holding on to your point of view. So your confusion means you're listening to what's being said with an open mind. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. So, Now, he says, be you thankful that there is a place where truth and beauty wait for you. He says, go to meet truth and beauty how? Gladly. Okay. He says, learn how much awaits you for the simple willingness to give up nothing because it's nothing. We're getting ready to learn how much cool stuff waits for us just because we're willing to give up nothing because we recognize we're giving up nothing. Then it goes on to the next paragraph to tell us what kind of a new perspective we're about to gain. It says, the new perspective you will gain from crossing over will be an understanding of where heaven, which means love, is. So when you're in a new perspective, you have more of an understanding of where your peace is. Now, on this side, if you're on the upset side, it says on this side, it seems like your peace and your happiness and your heaven is what? Outside. Outside means across the bridge. When you're unhappy, it looks like your happiness is somewhere else. You know, when you're unhappy, it looks like your happiness is outside across the bridge. He says, but the trick is, as you, check this out, as you cross to join it, it joins with you. And becomes one with you. So as I move toward what I really want, what I want really moves toward me.
Cool. Yeah. That's cool,
Judy.
That's cool.
All right. Let me stand up for a few minutes, then I sit back down.
So across the bridge is outside of yourself.
Across the bridge is outside of yourself.
I was wondering.
Yeah. Across the bridge, he says, it's like it says right here, it says, from this side it seems to be outside. That means across the bridge. But as you join to cross it, it joins with you and becomes one with you. And when what you want is one with you, he says, you will think in glad astonishment, for all this I gave up nothing. That's what you're going to say. When you're finally in that space of peace, he says, what you're going to say is, you know what? For all this peace that I have, I didn't have to give up anything real. You mean I have everything I've ever wanted in my heart and I didn't have to give up nothing? He said, that's what's going to happen. He said, you're going to be astonished. He says, because the joy of heaven, which is the joy of love, the Course in Miracles only talks about love or fear. So the joy of love, which has no limit, is increased with each light that returns to take its rightful place within it. Wait no longer for the love of God and you. And may the healing instant speed you on the way, as it will surely do if you will let the healing instant come to you. So every time you return to love, every time you return to truth, every time you return to happiness, then all happiness is increased. Every single time you let yourself be made happy, or you let yourself experience joy, or you let yourself experience love, you increase it for all the rest of us. Every time you let yourself have what you deserve, every time you acknowledge yourself, every time you recognize yourself, every time you express yourself, every time you feel good, it increases it for all of us. You owe all of us to be happy. You owe it to all of us to let yourself have joy and acknowledgement and appreciation. You owe it to us. Stop messing around. We need your happiness.
So what if you feel guilty? You're trying to make me feel guilty.
Does it sound like that would be my goal? All you got to do is consider the source. Why would a person that's sitting up here saying don't use guilt be using guilt to get you to do something?
Where's your sense of humor?
That's a good point. It's what I'm making. What I'm saying is you have to ask yourself that kind of a question. When someone is saying something to you and your feelings are getting hurt, you need to ask yourself, what is the source? Would this person purposely say something to hurt me? You know, or maybe I need to ask for another way to look at this. Maybe it means I don't quite understand what's going on because it looks like what they're saying is hurting my feelings, but they wouldn't hurt anything. They would say anything to consciously hurt me because I know them and I know they only want my good. So you immediately go, well, maybe I need to, before I react, maybe I need to kind of get clearer and say, you know, I'm not hearing this right. Because I know you wouldn't try to hurt me, so what are you really saying? Consider the source.
Yeah.
Consider the source.
So is that not what forgiveness is? The source is to be able to look back past all that. It's just illusion. It's our projection of illusion. And to see their true spirit.
That is the true meaning of forgiveness. It's me looking past what I believe about you to what you really are. But in the very beginning, the way you get there is no longer entering into relationships with anything in which you cannot enter into. The way to get there is to let go of the suffering that you are going through. Because the happier and more complete and the more whole you are and the more you recognize your power, the more naturally you're going to be able to look past what it looks like anybody else is doing. You'll never have to make yourself do it. It would be the easiest thing in the world to do because of how you feel about yourself. So every time you do anything to increase your love for yourself, you're doing the best you can do as far as getting to the point you can forgive somebody else. Do not concentrate on forgiving somebody else before you've forgiven yourself and let go of the blocks to your own awareness of your own power and love. Spend the time you spend looking, trying to forgive your daddy and looking inside yourself and seeing what blocks need to be released within you that keeps you from recognizing the love you have for yourself. And it'll take care of your grievance with your daddy. Do it the easy way. Do it the easy way. The Course is trying to teach us how to do it the easy way. The hard way is, I've come to the Course class, so I'm going to walk out of here today and I'm going to forgive the person that raped me when I was 10. That's the hard way. What I want to do today is let go of any block that then may have given me to make me not love myself and know the power of myself and get in touch with that love for myself beneath that event. And then that will give me the power and the healing that I need to release the outer situation. Do it the easy way. Don't try to forgive the person. That's the old way. Okay, I want to go deeper in this. I want to go deeper in this. Now, it says the new perspective you would gain from crossing over would be the understanding of where heaven is. From this side, it seems to be outside and across the bridge. Yet as you cross to join it, it will join with you and become one with you. And you will think in glad astonishment, for all this you gave up nothing. The joy of love, which has no limit, is increased with each light that returns to take its rightful place within it. Wait no longer for the love of God in you. And may the healing instant speed you on the way, as it will surely do if you but let it come to you. If I could invite the people that come to my Course class on a regular basis to do this one thing. Take the focus off of other people when you come in here. Don't think of anything I'm saying in terms of your mama, your sister, the person that hurt you in the past, what you're going to do at work tomorrow. Let all of that go. For an hour, let go of any emphasis on fixing anything or anybody. And just let yourself hear it. It will change you just by hearing it. All the things you're trying to accomplish by figuring it out will happen with the truth if you just ever let yourself just hear it. Yeah. If you'd be amazed. All the things you're trying to figure out, everything you got a question about, you'd be amazed at how the truth will answer that question if you just let yourself hear it. Here's the thought I want to invite you to take out of here today. You don't have any bad feelings. You don't have any bad feelings. You just have feelings that you judge.
Whoa. That's good.
And it is your judgment of your feelings that makes you feel bad. Where if you would just have the feeling without judging it as bad or good, that feeling would naturally change to another feeling. But the minute you stop to examine it, it's like taking it and putting it up on a shelf where you're going to figure out what to do with it when it would have been gone. And then you move on and that feeling is still there waiting for you to deal with it. And before you know it, you got so many subconscious feelings that you've not allowed to express that you feel totally blocked emotionally. Because you didn't let any of your feelings just come through you every one of them had to be labeled, categorized, and judged.
And analyzed.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's like a packaging plant. It's like, it's up to you if I got to package this. And it's like that old Lucille Ball TV show where they was trying to wrap the chocolates and the chocolates start coming through too fast for them to get to all of them. That's the way we are with our feelings. I'm judging this. So I can't get to all of them, so I put them up on the shelf where they become part of my subconscious mind. They become part of my body. So therefore, these negative feelings that I call negative feelings are now in my body, interrupting my body's natural function, and my body becomes sick because it's full of memories that are not loving. And that sickness can take the form of a financial situation, a physical situation, a relationship situation. It's not just a physical body, because your body is your perception and everything you see is your body. Because you're living inside the bubble of your own perception of things. Just like it looks like you're inside your body, the truth is you're inside your perception. Right? Okay, this is your body. Not just this. And then you label it. And then good, bad, guilt, innocence, good, grievance, innocence, good, bad, for me, against me, not satisfying me, satisfying me. And I've categorized everything around me, and so now it is what's upset me. What's upset me is everything I'm rejecting because I don't think it suits me. So I reject you, and I reject you. I reject you, and I keep running into you until I accomplish you as part of myself. So the physical reality that we live in is nothing but that which we rejected from our consciousness. So therefore we have to meet it as a physical circumstance until we accept it as part of ourselves. Wow. So then it looks like what we like is on the inside and what bugs us is on the outside, because we don't realize we are rejecting what is within us that we don't want to own, so we put it out here in the world and then experience it every day as our day-to-day life. So your day-to-day life is your own rejected feelings. Or your day-to-day life is the love that's inside of you that you're rejecting and refusing to know. And if that's the case, then it looks like people treat you better than you deserve. Because then you're meeting your own rejected love for yourself coming at you through what appears to be other people outside of yourself, because you're in denial about how wonderful you are.
Can you do that? Can you have both?
Yes.
You know, because other times, this jackass isn't treating me right.
Right. And right. I know exactly right. It might have been the same jackass I was thinking about. Some of us have common jackasses.
Okay.
Don't we? There's a bunch of people working for the same boss. Or a jackass in common. But the jackass is where? In my mind. I didn't say it was inside of me. There's a big difference. It's inside your mind. See, there's nothing inside of you but love. All you are is love. You're only goodness. You're only powerful. That's all that's in you. That's all will ever be in you. That's all you are. That's all you'll ever be. Now, in your mind, you can perceive yourself as being something else. And in that perception of yourself as something else, you then experience yourself as something else. But everything you see is just getting you in touch with your thoughts. What you are is beyond your thought. Your opinion about yourself has no effect on who you are. Your opinion about yourself only has an effect on who you think you are. There's nothing anybody in this room could say about me that could change what I am. But what you could say about me, I could allow to affect what I think I am. You with me on that?
Yeah.
You can't change what I am. I'm sorry. But I certainly can let you influence what I think I am by how much I buy into what you're saying about me. And the greatest power of all is your ability not to pay attention or let affect you what anybody says.
Yeah.
And you can claim that spiritual power at any moment. Yeah. I do not have to let what you think about me affect how I feel. That is freedom. That is freedom.
Yeah.
That is freedom. I'm cool. I'm all right. I like Earl. Earl knows where he's coming from. Earl wishes no harm to anyone. Earl wants to be truly helpful. Earl never tries to plot how he can hurt anybody anywhere. Earl doesn't. So no matter what anybody say about me, I know what's true and what's not. What you say about me that's not loving is not true. what you say about me that is true. That's it.
Yeah.
Why? Because I know who I am. Now, if I didn't know who I was, maybe I would kind of be like, I wonder if what she's saying is true. Because I don't know who I am. So therefore, your opinion can influence my decision about myself. But if I'm sure of who I am, there's nothing you can say that can change that. That's freedom. Freedom is of the mind. Freedom is not of the body. The body can never be free. There will never be a time in your life that your body will be physically unlimited.
Wow.
Now, you can raise your body to other levels of vibration that will make it seem like it's no longer physical or limited by the physical through remembering who you are. But that certainly will never happen as long as you think you're only a man and a woman. If you see yourself as only human, you'll only have a human experience. So that's what time that is. And that can be a cool experience, but it's not all of who you are. It's just a portion of who you are. And human beings can change. That's what's cool about a human being. A human being can change. But you never believe what people say about people can't change. An ego can't change, but a human being can. An ego is a fearful mind. A fearful mind is just going to always want separation. That's what a fearful mind does. But you're not your fearful mind. You're not your fears. You're not your guilt. You're not your worry. You're not your concern. You're not your lack. You're not your past. You're none of the things that you think you are that make you feel anything less than glorious.
Somebody's hot today.
You know.
Yeah,
I'm hot. I'm hot. You got the right perception of me. What's right? You come to me and tell me I'm hot. I said, you recognize me. You know what I'm saying?
You know. Myself and you.
That's exactly. Exactly. It takes hot to recognize hot. I know, right? I know that's right. I know. I know. I know, Judy. And you innocent. All your hotness you've ever been. Be innocent.
Absolutely.
That's right. Including prom night.
What? Yeah.
Okay.
What about prom?
That's what I'm about to tell you. Prom night too. Okay.
Yes.
A lot of people have prom night guilt. Be free. Prom night guilt. Be free of prom night guilt. Okay. So, I love how he says, may the holy instant speech on the ways that will surely do if you will let it come to you. See, it says, now the Holy Spirit, which is your loving right mind, asks only this little help of you. Okay, this is the only thing Spirit is asking us to do. You ready?
Yeah.
It says, whenever your thoughts wander to a special relationship which still attracts you, enter with love your higher self, the Holy Spirit, into a holy instant, which is a healing instant, and let the love in you release you. In other words, my thoughts are wandering back to a relationship that I gave myself fear in, and it's attracting me. So let me enter into a moment, a healing instant with my loving, sane, truth self, and let it release me. Let me go back to the truth and let the truth release me. I'm being attracted to this pain. I'm being attracted to this pain. I'm being attracted to this pain again. I'm being attracted to this pain again. Let me take a moment. Let me take a moment and go into my sane mind. My sane mind reminds me I don't want to enter into a relationship in which who I really am cannot come into. I do not want to go into a relationship that there is not real communication and understanding. I don't want to go into a relationship in which there is not peace and joy and love for me in that relationship, or growth and openness for me in that relationship. Let my sane mind release me. I'm feeling my old attraction to something that I know causes me pain. Let me enter into a relationship with my Holy Spirit, my higher self, for a moment, and let it release me. Now, your higher self needs only your willingness to do what? Share its perspective to give it to you completely. Because notice what I just got through doing was trying to give myself a new way or another way to look at it so that I wouldn't go back into this old temptation. And so the Course says, your willingness need not be complete because God's is perfect. So your willingness, you don't have to have complete willingness in order to be helped. You do not have to have complete willingness in order to be helped. You do not have to have complete willingness in order to be helped. You do not have to have, you know why? You may not be willing to go with me, but I want to go with you. You sort of want to go with me. You really do, but your willingness isn't complete. Well, don't worry about it because my willingness is complete. So since my willingness is complete, I'm still going to end up there with you. Yeah. Because my willingness is complete even if yours isn't complete yet.
Yeah.
So I'll go ahead and come on over here to you even though you don't know if you want to come over to me. Well, my willingness is complete, so I'll come on over to you. So your willingness does not have to be complete in order to be helped by the universe.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yes.
It
means that your willingness doesn't have to be complete. See, the hurt thing is really more or less based on the past. That's based on what you think happened to you in the past, based on where you were in the past. You're in a whole new place. If it's a retread, you know it's a retread by the way you feel. It's not necessarily a retread because it's the same person. It's a retread when you're doing the same thing with them.
Yeah.
So when I said go back to a relationship, I don't mean that it's wrong to go back to a relationship that's not the same relationship that you're going back to. I'm in one of them right now. I have many relationships with people that's now a different relationship than it was when I was with them, but we're still in a relationship. So what changed was what I wanted out of the relationship. It didn't mean I could never be in a relationship with that person again. It doesn't mean that I have to kick anybody out of my life. But there are going to be people who will go out of my life simply because most relationships are temporary. Most relationships are not permanent. They're not even meant to be at the level of the body. One of the biggest illusions that we have, according to the Course, is that we think relationships are all supposed to be lifelong relationships. And if we don't do a lifelong relationship, somehow or another, we fail. So people are walking around feeling guilty because every relationship that they had didn't last forever. And that's the most unusual kind of relationships that you can have. It's much more normal to come together, learn as much as you can from each other in a very intense learning situation and appear to separate. It's much more normal to come together intensely for a period of time and separate than it is to spend your whole life with a person. That's not a realistic goal for all your relationships because all your relationships are not meant to be permanent at a physical level. So to set that up for yourself is to set up a total guilt for yourself over and over again and think that you are a failure.
But they do evolve. They can evolve into something.
Our relationships are destined to evolve because we are children of God and it is our nature to continue to evolve in love. That's going to happen. That's going to happen as natural as there was no point that you had to talk yourself into puberty. It was a natural result of your being. You just moved into it. You could have studied all night long and I could have not studied it at all, and we would have both went into puberty at the same time. So what is normal and natural for us is going to occur irregardless of our learning or non-learning. It's all the learning is necessary for what's not natural and to learn how to see what's not natural in a way that you give yourself peace. Nothing that's real needs to be learned. Anything that's real happens in and of itself, no more than you had to learn, like I said, to go through puberty. I didn't have to learn to turn my hair gray. You know, it was a natural part of the evolution of my physical body on this plane. Now, what my learning can do is make me feel okay about that as opposed to thinking there's something wrong with me because my hair isn't that way. And it could also make me feel innocent about changing this color anytime I get ready because guess what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't have anything to do with my value. But it's a natural part of my being here. You see the difference? Your learning is only going to affect how you see what is. But what is can never be affected by what you see. You know, what is just what is. But then you can determine how what is affects you. You're back with me?
Yeah.
You know, I could have the biggest, I could weigh 900 pounds, but that's just what is. I weigh 900 pounds. Now, how I feel about weighing 900 pounds, that's what's part of my learning. It's how I choose to see things. And so the Course is trying to give us new learnings that would allow us to see what is in such a way that we keep our peace. And then in keeping our peace, we can hear the voice of our own inner guide. And we all have one. And our own inner guide is telling us how to deal with what is. So your own inner teacher is telling you every moment of the day how to deal with what is in your life. And the Course is about removing the blocks to your being able to hear what your own voice is telling you. That's the only purpose of this class. It's not to fix. It's not to psychoanalyze. It's not to fix people's problems. It is about teaching us how to let go of the blocks to the awareness of the voice within us that's telling you how to deal with your child, your boss, your finances, your body, and anything else that you think is going on in your life. Each one of you has your own inner light, your own inner guide, and that inner guide was put there to bring you back to the awareness of your divinity and your power. It's constantly trying to direct you how to do that, but you've made up your own way of thinking that you believe in more, and so therefore you don't listen to what your real self is saying, you listen to what your learned self is saying. And your learned self is no more true than where it came from. And you can tell when you're listening to your wrongly learned self by how much peace you have right now. And if you don't have any peace right now, then you're listening to your wrong learning. Because your inner self would never ever direct you in any other direction other than peace. So rule number one is, I need to love myself enough to listen. What do you mean? If I'm feeling guilt, then I know I'm doing some self-betrayal right now. That's the first thing I need to get in touch with. Evidently, I'm in some relationship where being who I really am isn't really being expressed or accepted. Because if it was, I wouldn't feel guilty. Because I'll never feel guilty about being myself. So if I'm feeling guilty, I'm being somebody else. I'm being who I think I should be. And if I feel guilty, I'm going to punish myself. The way I'm going to punish myself is create some kind of attack on myself. So therefore, I'm going to do something to draw some kind of conflict from the outer world in order to punish myself, in order to wipe the slate clean so that I can be absolved. That's wrong learning. That's wrong learning. And the ego is nothing but wrong learning. So the last two sentences, we're going to hit it. And I'm going to stop here. And then give us a chance to kind of go back and hit the main point again. Does your willingness need to be complete in order to get the help of the universe?
No.
Okay. So the Course says, I like this. It says, it is the Holy Spirit's, your higher self's, task to atone for your unwillingness by his perfect faith. And it is his faith you share with him there. Out of your recognition of your unwillingness for your release, it's a deep sentence. God's perfect willingness is given you out of your recognition of your unwillingness for your release. Love's perfect willingness is given you. So how do you receive perfect willingness to really go for your peace and go for your happiness? The more you recognize you are unwilling, the more you will become willing. The more you recognize you are unwilling, the more you will become... See, well, this is the way it works. Most people think they're willing, but it's not happening. Agree? Most people think, well, I am willing, but it's not... I am
willing, girl. I am willing. That's why I'm here. I wouldn't be here today.
I wouldn't be here today if I was willing. Now, notice the ones who think they're willing are also the ones that's not having the willingness. Not getting the result. And so the Course is saying, flip it. It's more like, for me, it's more like this. I recognize more and more every day that there's a part of me that's not willing. I realize more and more there's a part of me that's been trying to delay me. That there's a part of me that has been afraid. And that there's a part of me that's been not loving. And that there's been a part of me that's wanted to attack. There's been a part of me that's been not willing to listen to this at all. And the more I realize that there's a part of me that's not willing, guess what? The more willingness I start to have. I go, you know, I got this unwillingness, but you know, I really want willingness. And see, more willingness comes to me. But the ones who think they know, but they're not getting the result, those are the ones who are making the error. Oh, I do know the laws of prosperity. Why are you broke? I do know how to love. Then why are you lonely? Well, it's their fault. That's why. The other people just don't appreciate me yet. If they would just change, then everything would be all right. That's the way a person talks who does not know the truth. You can always recognize them. How do you recognize them? Because they'll be doing three things, you know. They'll be projecting, they'll be blaming, and they'll be attacking. And whenever you're around anyone doing those three things, you're in the presence of an unconscious mind. You're in the presence of a mind that is calling for love. You're in the presence of a mind and a being that wants love, that's confused, that's in fear, that wants another way to look at things, that needs to be recognized for who they really are. But don't you strengthen their attack by going into agreement with it. Follow me?
Yeah.
Are you with me? And so he says, out of your recognition of your unwillingness for your release, God's perfect willingness is given you. Call upon God. Call upon love. Call upon your inner teacher. Call upon the Holy Spirit. I'm giving you a variety of terms in case you have a lot of hang-ups about some of the words. Okay? Call upon God for heaven, which is perfect joy, perfect love, perfect healing, is at the Holy Spirit's call. In other words, let the part of you that loves you call on heaven or happiness for you. It's like, there's a part of me that doesn't love me, so therefore it doesn't ask for the best for me. There's a part of me that loves me completely and only wants the best for me. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to let the part of me that loves me call on the love for me. That's what this book is saying, do. You know you don't know how to do it. You know you don't know how to love yourself completely all the time. You know you don't really know how to have peace or to handle every situation that comes up. And sometimes you're tempted to feel guilty and afraid, and you're tempted to suffer and go through pain. So you know that it must be talking about the part of you that's you that you don't know about. And it exists. Just because you don't know about it don't mean it don't exist. Any more than people who don't know about Earl don't mean Earl doesn't exist either. I exist whether people know about me or not. But it would be a lot easier for me to do something for them if they called on me. All right? So the same thing is true about your higher self, about spirit, about God, about the unlimited love that created you. There's a part of you that is that. And that part of you, let it call on the good stuff in your life for you. It can bring it to you for you.
Cool.
Okay. Thank you for listening to this much with me today. Incredible, powerful, wonderful being. Now, one of the oddest things is going to happen if you come to this and listen to this on a regular basis. Even though I'm only saying loving things, and I defy any of you to say I haven't said something that was loving, you're going to get angry sometime. You're going to find yourself feeling strangely irritated. It's going to be the oddest thing. That's normal. That's normal. That's normal in the sense that, you know, if you pour water into a bucket with sediment and dirt on the bottom of the bucket, all that dirt starts to come up. And the water gets all murky and muddy. But if you keep on pouring in the waters of truth, the dirty water eventually comes up and over the top of the pail, and then you got a pail full of clear water of truth and peace. Right? Some of us are right in the middle of the murky period. Okay? It's like, my God, you know, I've been trying to get into the truth and I tried to move toward love, and now it looks like there's more stuff going on in my life than ever before. It's like it's more insane than I ever knew it to be before. Okay, you're in the murky pail period, right? Because you've been pouring up and all that stuff has been buried and it's coming up to be released, right? Now, your old self, your ego, that old learning is going to say to you something like, you need to get away from that class. You need to get away from that book. You need to stop studying that course or whatever it is you're doing in order to change yourself. And then you say, okay, that's what it is. I'll just stop doing this stuff. Okay, so you cut the water off. What happens to the dirt? It settles back down to the bottom of the pail. The water looks clear again, and you go, ah, see that? I knew I should have got away from that stuff. And then the dirt is still at the bottom, creating the unexpected events that happen to you that upset you. You don't know the unexpected events that happen to you that are upsetting you are coming from the dirt thoughts in the bottom of the pail. Because you're just identifying with the clear water on top and disowning the dirt at the bottom, which is just the call for love. But if you had kept putting that clear water of truth in and even more. Like if you want to get rid of the dirt faster, what do? You pour on more water faster. So when things get upsetting, you should come into the truth and study the truth more. Not back off because you're upset and then only come around when you think you're feeling good. You need it the most when you're most afraid. But that's when most people back out, right? So if you go ahead and let that water come into that pail, that water of truth, that sweet truth that you're giving yourself, soon all the dirt is gone and all you have is a clear pail. And when you get to that clear pail, you got a clear life. And you'll be safe. And you'll know it. That's the process. You just heard the process. Now it's up to you whether or not you're going to bail as soon as the murky period hits, just to deal with it later on, because you will.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't have to feel bad if you decide to bail, because you're innocent. And whenever you want to deal with it, it'll be there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. But thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing with me, with our full-time ministry, with the course. Thank you for sharing with Unity Temple. You're a blessing in my life. Thank you. You're a blessing. You're a total blessing in my life. And so I do have a human body, so I do appreciate money. That's all right. You see me, I have the same needs you do. Because we are the same being.
Yes. Yes, we are.
We're the same being. We are the same being.
Yeah.
Anybody need to make an announcement right quick before we do one last thing to finish up? Any feeling of anger is a call for peace. Any feeling of anger is a call for peace. So the feeling is not bad. Your feelings are not bad. Your feelings are not bad. My 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 feelings are not bad. Now, if you're feeling peace, it's okay to say, I feel peace. And if you're feeling glorious, it's okay to feel glorious. If you feel concerned, just say I to yourself. I'm not saying it's necessary to tell everybody else around you, but you can tell yourself how you feel, because if you're feeling worried and concerned, that's your call for peace. If you're feeling worried and concerned, that's your call for peace. If you're feeling a feeling of lack, that's your call for abundance. Any feeling of lack is nothing but a call for abundance. So don't judge it. It's not bad. It's just a call for abundance. If you're feeling real sick for whatever reason, it's just a call for your awareness of your health. It is an innocent feeling. If you walk out of here today telling yourself that all your feelings are innocent, you will go a long way toward your peace. 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 You deserve peace. God bless you. May your life be so full of joy and happiness that constantly expands and never ends forever. See you next time. So again, I'm trying to move everything to my website, earlpurdy.com, anyway, so that that'll become easier and people can download the classes immediately or to their iPod or whatever. But I want to put my primary focus into the men and sharing that. So anyway, I want to let you know that. I love you, and have an ordinary week.